podcast.
Let's talk.
Bill Padley on TRE, Talk Radio Europe.
So, have you ever thought about how many chemicals are on your vegetables or your products that you'd maybe buy from a supermarket? Well, it turns out it's rather alarming the amount if you add them up, and they make a kind of chemical cocktail in effect sprayed on your fruit and veg. Nick Moll is from the Pesticide Action Network in the UK, and he joins us now to talk about this. Good morning, Nick. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I guess the Pesticide Action Network does what it says on the tin, does it?
Well, we certainly try to, yes. Try and stop the use of the most hazardous pesticides, change our way of thinking to more sustainable farming, and, yeah, try and get what you rightly described as this cocktail of chemicals out of our food.
I imagine it's a pretty uphill battle, isn't it, trying to get rid of pesticides?
Well, I think we're seeing some positive changes on the horizon. I think this can certainly change a lot in the last 10 years, people's attitude to pesticides, and particularly the public no longer want to see pesticides on their food or pesticides killing bees or the many other harmful effects that pesticides bring with them.
Well, I guess that pesticides in and of themselves are cleared for use and they're safe, but what you're talking about here is effectively when more than one is used and it becomes a cocktail, and it's almost like if you were taking several tablets at home, the doctor will say to you, well, hang on a minute, what are you taking already, because it may interact with the ones that I'm going to give you now.
Well, I think that's an important issue. I'll come back to that if I may.
Yeah.
But in the first, yes, pesticides are approved for use, but time and time again, you know, ever since the 40s onwards, we've seen a pesticide approved for use then subsequently get banned because of the effect it was having on human health or on the environment. So our regulatory system isn't necessarily up to keeping pace with the chemistry of individual subjects, let alone this cocktail that we're ingesting. Some fruit and veg can contain residues of 14 different pesticides on it. And again, there are changes from the old-fashioned, the old thinking whereby the dose makes the poison, whereby research has shown that much, much smaller doses than you would think would have an effect could actually have a greater effect, certainly on the endocrine system, the hormone system. And that's particularly harmful to children. And they're developing bodies. They're the most susceptible to the harmful effects of many of these pesticides.
Who are the gatekeepers in all of this, Nick? Who are you talking to, and what other organisations are working with you? I know we've had somebody on before from the Soil Association, for example.
Yeah, well, there are quite a few of us interested in either sort of human health issues or environmental issues. So the Soil Association and Friends of the Earth and various others, some of the cancer organisations, the smaller ones. There's a lot of concern amongst a lot of organisations, and I think a lot of thinking that we really need to change our whole way of thinking about how we grow and produce our food.
We blame the government for most things these days, or the Russians, actually. It's more the Russians these days. But in terms of the government, is it their fault? Who do you talk to? Who can stop this?
Yeah, I'm not going to blame the Russians.
there's a first.
Ultimately, it's our regulators, and our regulators are in Europe and in Westminster. I believe they're the ones that have been failing. Now, they've tried, but for too long it's been pro-pesticide, carry on as usual, listening to the big pro-pesticide organisations like the National Farmers Union and, of course, the crop protection industry itself. Let's not beat about the bush. Millions and millions and millions of pounds in profit are made every year from the sale and use of pesticides. We're calling for a wholesale change in the way we do it. So, more sustainable farming, less focus on pesticides, more focus on the many traditional techniques that we have available. And also, we're often accused of being anti-science. Well, if we stop using pesticides, we can actually drive real innovation in non-chemical ways of doing things. I think we're at risk of destroying our environment if we haven't done already.
I guess the farmers are at the sharp end of this. Are the farmers pro-pesticide, or are they using it for reasons because they have no choice?
I think individual farmers certainly aren't, and I think individual farmers are in a very difficult situation. So they in general don't make their decisions about whether to use pesticides. That's down to an agronomist who you know, they pay for their advice. And the majority, the overwhelming majority of agronomists in the UK work for pesticide distribution companies or pesticide companies and have a need to sell product to make their commission. And then on the other hand, you've got the incredibly tight margins farmers are working for. You know, they've been squeezed by the retailers. So they can't afford to make any changes. And again, they get no support from the government. So we're asking the British government to step in and support and help farmers change and move away. Because many farmers know exactly, they're at the front line of the ill effects of pesticides. They know what these things can do. And they would like to change, but they need help to do it. And that's the role of the government, frankly.
The detail records that are kept by farmers exist as to the amount of pesticides that they use nationally on individual crops. And one would think that those detailed records would be easily accessible, but I don't think that's the case, is it?
It isn't. They should be. They certainly should be available to interested third parties, but that's not been well facilitated, if at all, by the government. We do get overall usage figures, but they're very broad brush and don't really help identify what's going on. And you know, there's no follow-up or enforcement or reviewing of the records that's done in any sort of systematic way that would help us really understand more clearly what's going on and where you know, we can intervene or need to intervene more urgently than elsewhere. So yes, there is a lack of transparency. There's a lack of engagement from the government, or there has been up until now. I think there are some bright lights on the horizon with a new 25-year environment plan and with our proposed agriculture bill that's looking forward to the autumn. So there are some glimmers of hope, definitely.
Of course, the agriculture industry would say that the overall amount of pesticides used on British produce certainly has declined dramatically. The figures, for example, in 1990, the total weight of pesticides applied to crops was 34.5 million kilograms. That's a lot. In 2015, it was 17.8. That's a 50% reduction. So surely that's massive progress, isn't it?
Well, on the very, you know, at a very basic level, yes, you could say, great, we've halved the weight of pesticides used. But it's frankly, it's a meaningless metric for measuring pesticides. Pesticides have become more toxic. So, for example, the new neonicotinoids, the ones that were killing bees, are 10,000 times more toxic than DDT was. So it doesn't take much to work out. You don't need to apply as much. So what we need to be looking at is a different measure whereby we take in, you know, the toxicity of the things being applied, you know, whether that's you know harmful to water, aquatic organisms, or insects, or human health. And if you also look at the figures, you'll see that the area treated has increased massively. The number of times being treated has increased massively. The number of different chemicals applied to individual crops has increased massively. So weight doesn't really tell us anything.
The Food Standards Agency, who we allegedly are should be trusting, would say, and here is a quote from them, people eating small amounts of pesticide residues in their diet are not at risk, provided that intakes are below the safety limits that are set by expert committees when the pesticide is approved. So there's that phrase, expert committees. We see that all the time in these things, don't we?
Yes, indeed we do. I mean, this brings me back to my previous point of, you know, well, something is approved for use and then later on it's found to be causing harm to people or the environment. So that's not necessarily a good yardstick. And then, I mean, the Food Standards Agency, well, they once tried to have a look at the thing that you mentioned, the cocktail effect. They said, well, it's just too complicated, so we're not going to bother. So there's no, you know, we don't know how these things are interacting. And again, the point I made previously about the lower doses affecting the hormone system. Well, that's, you know, that's very real. And again, that's not taken into account. So I think it's a bit cavalier for them to make that kind of statement. And surely what we should be working on is not having them there when we, you know, taking them out, making sure that we don't have residues. It's not a problem anyway, which I'm sure we can do if we start looking at the way we farm and grow our food.
So if I was to give you, Nick, a blank sheet of paper and carte blanche to change what you could change at will, what would you write on that sheet of paper that would be an immediate change for the better, then?
Well, we have quite a few of these, but
you've got a book of blank sheets of paper, yeah.
You can see them on our website, Richard, but I'll give you our top three, three things that Pan UK thinks will make a real positive impact. And that is, first instance, to introduce targets for reducing pesticides, certainly with a focus on the most hazardous, you know, whether they're killing insects or they could be, you know, linked to cancer or whatever. So proper targets that are worked towards. Secondly, we need a government-run, government-funded body that can help farmers, train them, give the advice, technology they need to reduce pesticides and be rewarded for that, you know, when we move away from the cap.
Right.
And then thirdly, introduction of a pesticide levy or tax so that the more toxic ones, and we do know what is more toxic and what's less toxic, cost more as an incentive to stop using them and move to safer or non-chemical means of farming. I think those three things would really push us forward. And they're not, you know, we're not asking for the moon on a stick here.
Well put. If people want to find out more, what is your website where you can find all of this and other information, Nick?
It's www.pan-uk.org. And we've got, I mean, we don't just, you know, we work on every aspect of pesticides, and there's a whole lot of information that people can access and download and read, and actions people can just take. So, do visit our website to find out more about this issue.
Pan-uk.org. Yep.
That's the one, yeah.
Fantastic. Yep. Nick Moll, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All the best. Cheers, Nick. Bye-bye.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe.